zdaj, tista stvar, kar si moramo ta prvo zdaj povedati v to uro, je, kaj je zdaj ta naš nov čudežni parametr, ki v repici sploh ne obstaja, ne? Je moč presečna točka. So, the first thing we have to look is what is this mystery parameter that's called PIP3 that cannot be achieved in real life. Če bi si na to stvar narisali poravo našega ojačevalnika, ne, se pravi, da bi tu risal, tukaj risal P enosmerno, so drawing the DC power, say for a class A amplifier. Za razred A se poraba ojačevalnika ni odvisna od krmilnega signala, so ste videli zadnjič navajk. So, for a class A amplifier, you saw last time at the laboratory experiment that its power drain is mainly independent of the driving. This PIP3 is much larger. So this is just a calculation parameter. It's not something we can measure with a power meter. This PIP3. It's just something we can derive out of other measurements. And let's see how large it is. Poglejmo si, koliko je ta PIP3 velik. Ne? No in zdaj tukaj, za ugotoviti velikost PIP3, si moramo pogledati, na kakšen način delujejo naši polprevodniki. So, in order to estimate how large is this PIP3, we should have a look at the internal life of our active devices, of our transistors. What do our transistors do? How do they amplify the signal? In ta prva stvar, kar se lahko pogledamo, je bipolarni transistor, ne? Se pravi, naredimo ojačevalnik za bipolarni transistor, ki ga krmilimo, tukaj damo breme in tukaj damo baterijo, ne? Por, breme, kolektor, baza, emitor. Zanima nas tukaj kolektorski tok, ne? Kolektorski tok v bipolarnem transistorju, ne? Je zdaj tokovno ojačenje krat bazni tok, ne? Je tokovno ojačenje krat IS diode baze emitor, eksponentna funkcija E na U krat N krat U, T, kjer je N skoraj ena za bipolarne transistorje, minus ena, ne? Kolektorski tok je eksponentna funkcija napetosti baza emitor, ne? Če bom tukaj UB1. Zaradi tega jaz lahko bi napisal, zdaj, da je kolektorski tok, ima tukaj vse člene, ne? Ima alfa nič in alfa 1 krat UBE in alfa 2 UBE kvadrat in alfa 3 UBE tretja potenca in alfa 4 UBE četrta potenca in pikce, ne? So, the collector current of a bipolar transistor has all terms, all powers. Because this exponential function, if we rewrite e to the x is 1 plus x 1 factorial plus x squared 2 factorial plus x 3 factor and so on. So, if I develop the exponent function, it has all terms. Exponenta funkcija ima vse člene, če razvijem v Taylorjevo vrstvo, if I develop this function in a Taylor series. It has all members. result of this is that PIP3 is about 10 times P1dB. As drugim besedami povedan logaritem v logaritmskih enotah, logaritem PIP3, je približno logaritem dobro. Ne? Plus tukaj 10 decibelov. Ja. Tu velja z bipolarnim transistorom. Kaj pa za polski transistor? What happens with the field effect transistor? If we have a field effect transistor, vrata izvor, we have drain gate source, we have here the drain current, we have here the voltage between gate and source, we have the load resistor, our amplifier, we have the battery that supplies the power source. Tok ponora je v polskem transistorju IDSS, enda ki smo dosičeni, the character number chip, and as long as you have a pinch off, you can write in this simple way. So in the linear part, in the application part of the curve of a field effect transistor, the function is just a square. Ta funkcija vsebuje samo kvadrat v linearnem delu. Tako da, če jaz to stvar zapišem, zdaj id je zdaj alfa nič in alfa ena u gate source in alfa dve u gs. So, for an ideal field effect transistor, there is something we should note here. There is no top order curve. Polski transistor nima kubnega člena, če ga uporabljamo v takšnem režimu. Ne? Tukaj ni nikjer, nikjer ni kubnega člena. Če ni kubnega člena, kaj pomeni? Da ni intermodalistika popačena. No! There is distortion here from such a transistor, as long as we are within the useful region, the linear region of amplitude. There is distortion, but this distortion is not cubic. There are no odd terms except for the linear term. To pomeni, da popačenje tega transistorja bistveno manjše, ta krivulja se umakne, ta premica se umakne. So for a field effect transistor, this line actually moves in this direction. And the intercept point is much, much higher. Way, way higher. The polski transistor je tale PIP3 približno faktor 100 krat PNDB. Je še zmeraj, ker še zmeraj ne ostane nekaj popačenja. Jasno, ne gre brez popačenja. Zakaj ne gre brez popačenja? Zato, ker tranzistor lahko prekrmilimo izven režima delovanja te enačbe. Tudi tranzistor sami se stavljeni iz več usporednih tranzistorih, ki ima različne utrešal. Tako da resnična krivulja resničnega tranzistora ima tudi kakšen utrešal. So, a real field effect transistor has some higher order terms. Has higher order terms for many reasons, because it's really a parallel circuit of many different field effect transistors on the chip with different thresholds, so we get to the edge of this curve where this equation is no longer valid. We may overdrive such a transistor. We may have parasitic, non-linear parasitics in such a transistor, like we may have varactors in a transistor. We have a varactor between the electrodes. Zapravi, spoj po prevodnični spoj se lahko obnaša kot krvari kap diode in tu so nelinearni kondenzatori. Nelinearnost imamo, tako da nelinearnost, ki ga reda obstaja. Ampak ta stvar je dosti večja, Tako da za poljski tranzistor, tale logaritem P i P3, ne, je približno logaritem P n db plus 20 decibel. No, vsi naši ojačevalniki, kar jih bomo imeli, bojo nekje med tema dvema skrajnostima. Oziroma lahko rejo tudi tukaj še več gor, ker tukaj ni samo poljski tranzistor, vsak ukrep, ki nam povečuje linearnost ojačevalnika, nam lahko nam zvišuje P i P3. So, every measure we take to improve the linearity of our amplifier will increase P i P3, though the PDC remains the same. For example, na primer, če imamo bipolaren tranzistor, ki ima povratno vezavo. Bipolaren tranzistor, dosti krat visokofrekvenčni tranzistori, imajo en emitorski upor. To so tisti uporčki, ki ste išteli na vaj. So these are the resistors you were counting on the, in the laboratory, under the microscope. Every bipolar tranzistor has such resistors, just RF tranzistor, just to equalize the current over the chip area. But the net result of this resistor is that PIP3 is logarithm, is about, for such a transistor, with feedback is logarithm P1 dB plus 15 dB. Že sam ti emitorski upori, kar jih imajo visokofrekvenčni transistor, zato se tako izenači, te upori so pravzaprav povratne vezave, oni linearizirajo diodo. These resistors are actually linearizing this exponent function here. This resistor is linearizing this function. For this reason, the distortion is less. Less distortion means higher PIP3 at the same P1 dB. Že tu pomeni. No, tukaj tako da, če imamo en mal večjo povratno vezavo, tukaj je tukaj ta enačba velja in za poljske tranzistorje, in za MOSFET. In če imam feedback, ne? Se pravi, negative feedback, ne? If I have negative feedback somewhere in the circuit, usually we can get, with negative feedback, we can get up to plus 25 dB for the intercept point. We may get a very high intercept point if we say we have field defect transistor plus feedback in the circuit. Feedback decrease the distortion. You probably learned this with your electronic course, that feedback is used in audio frequency technology to decrease the distortion. The same is true in radio frequency technology. Feedback decreases the distortion, and the PIP3 goes up, even though the battery power stays the same. The power supply power stays the same, but the PIP3 will go much higher. Dajmo si pogledati en račun, kako bomo take stvari računali. So let's see now a calculation example of how these things are calculated. And the example will be quite an old one, will be an analog TV transmitter. Many years ago, we were using analog TV. And with analog TV, we had such a spectrum. Če smo imeli tukaj spektr za analogno televizijo, smo pisali o frekvence. I will write the spectrum as a function of F, not of omega. Smo imeli frekvenco slike in frekvenco tona. In med njima je moralo biti 10 decibelov, ne? Na razmaku 5,5 MHz. So analog TV was using two carriers, one to transmit the picture, P1, and the other one, P2, to transmit the sound, the corresponding sound. The difference in the signal levels was stated by the standard, TV standard, as 10 dB. at frequency of the picture F1, frequency of the corresponding sound F2, sound picture F2, picture frequency F1. What happens in a power amplifier in such a TV transmitter? If we input this to a power amplifier, we have here F1 and F2. We get here F1, we get here F2, but we get also F2 F1 minus F2, and we get 2F2 minus F1. We get intermodulation distortion. Dobimo intermodulacijsku popačenje in dobimo tukaj 2Fn minus 2 in dobim tukaj 2F2 minus Fn. Kakšne so moči intermodulacijskih produktov? What are the power levels of these intermodulation products? Označimo tega tukaj z Pn in tega tukaj z Pa in tega tukaj z Pb. So what are the power levels? The power level of the first intermodulation product Pa is equal to what? To frekvenco, dvakrat nastopa signal frekvence 1 in enkrat F2. So in this intermodulation product we have PIP3 in the denominator, squared, but in the numerator we have power to the third power to the cube. U števcu imamo moč na tretjo potenco. Ampak moč na tretjo potenco katera? Meni dvakrat nastopa F1, so F1 is here playing twice, so it's P1 squared times P2. Na drugi strani moč intermodulacijska produkta Pb je pa zdaj frekvenca 1 nastopa enkrat, je samo P1, frekvenca 2 nastopa dvakrat, je P2 na tretjo potenco, deljeno z P i P. 3 na kvadrat. Ne? Imamo kub moči v števcu, ampak v tem kubu moči moramo upoštevati moči posameznih signalov. Tisto, kar smo prej govorili na tablo, je bilo, če sta bila oba dva signala imela enako linearno moč. So, what we were discussing before, we were discussing this bilinear as if both signals, both original signals had the same power. If the original signals do not have the same power, then we have to account each signal as many times as it occurs in the frequency formula. Se pravi, moč signala moramo upoštevati toliko krat, koliko krat se nahaja v formuli. Če imam 2F1 manj F2, imam P1 na kvadrat krat P2. Če imam 2F2 manj F1, imam P1 nastopa enkrat, P2 nastopa na kvadrat. Tukaj, kvadrat. Tukaj, pisal 3. Kvadrat. So, if I have twice F1, taking a role in generating this intermodulation product, then I have P1 squared, F2 plays just one, is just once here, so is just P2. Here I have 2F2, so I have P2 squared, F1, I have just P1 in the calculation of the intermodulation product. Zdaj, dajmo si pogledati mi, kakšne so zahteve, ne? So, what are the requirements for a TV transmitter? The requirements by law are that any intermodulation product is at least 60 dB down. Kateri zdaj intermodulacijski produkt je tisti, ki je najmočnejši, zahteva, da smo 60 dB pod najmočnejšim signalom. Jasno je, da ta je tisti, ki je najmočnejši. So, PA is likely going to be the most important intermodulation product. This one also exists, but it's weaker. So, this one is going first to be against the law, so it's first going to cause us troubles when designing such a TV transmitter. Let's take an example. Vzamemo primer, vzamemo P1, okay. Je en watt. Gradimo mali televizijski oddajnik, mali televizijski pretvornik. So we are building a small TV repeater for a picture power of 1 watt. The corresponding sound power is P1 minus 10 dB, so P1 divided by 10 is 0.1 watts. The allowed PB, PA, dovoljena moč PA, dovoljena moč motenja je zdaj 1 watt, minus 60 decibelov, se pravi 10 na 6. So 1 watt, 60 dB range is the allowed interference power is 1 microwatt. Iz teh treh številkih vstavimo sem noter v formulo. Ne? Če to formulo zdaj obrnem, PIP3 na kvadrat je enako na drugi strani P1 na kvadrat krat P2 deljeno z PA, ne? Oziroma PIP3 je zdaj kvadratni korijen iz P1 na kvadrat krat P2 deljeno z PA. Ne? So we calculate what is the required PIP3 of our amplifier. In order to satisfy the laws, in order to not to cause too much interference. We can calculate this. No, in zdaj zračunamo, P3, zdaj tukaj korijen iz 1 watt na kvadrat, krat niz celih 1 vata, deljeno z 10 na minus 600 vata. Tu zračunamo. Tu je zdaj tu je enako korijen iz 10 na 5 vati na kvadrat. Tu je 100 tisoč, ne? Korijen iz 100 tisoč je 316, ne? So, our calculation, if we take the square root of 10 to the 5th power, this is 316 watts. Tu je podatek, ki ga mora zdaj naš ojačevalnik zadostiti. Ne? So this is an actual requirement for our transmitter. But we as engineers are free to use the technology we may want to build this transmitter. If we take a bipolar transistor, we calculate the P1 dB is now approximately PIP3 divided by 10. Uporabimo to enačbo, ne, za bipolarno transistor, da je približno 10-krat toliko, ne? No, in če tu zdaj zračunamo, tu je zdaj 31,6 vata, ne? Z bipolarni transistor vemo tudi, da izkoristek v en decibelski točki je približno 30%, ne? Zanima nas P-enosmerna. P-enosmerna je zdaj P-NDB deljeno izkoristkem NDB, ne? Ne? So we are trying to compute the required DC power, because DC power we will have to pay for it. And this is 31.6 watts divided by 0.3. Ne? Če tu z nič celih 3 delimo, dobimo 100, ne? 3 gre v 300 gre enkrat in 105 vatov. We need a DC power of 105 watts using a bipolar transistor. How about using a MOSFET? With a MOSFET, the P1 dB is about PIP3 divided by 100. It's 3.16 watts. And the same we know about efficiency is still in class A is around 30%. So the DC power for MOSFET amplifier is now P1 dB divided by efficiency is about, here is about 10.5 watts. And this is actually the data that's important for us. Se pravi, zmizli smo da računali zdaj za oba primjera, zdaj vidimo, kaj pomeni linearnost gradnika. Ne? Mi za tak televizijski oddajnik, ki ima moč skupaj vsota vseh moči, ne? Tukaj, vsota vseh moči je P1 in P2, je 1,1 vata. Ne? So if we sum both powers, both useful powers, 1 watt for the picture and 0.1 watts for the voice, as of the sound, the total is 1.1 watts. But the required PC power, the legislation, the laws, require this interference to be kept sufficiently low. And from this requirement, from this 60 dB, we get the PIP3 of the amplifier. This is independent of the technology. To ni odvisno od tehnologije. Dobimo 316 W, dobimo PIP3. Zato da smo v zakonu noter, ne? Da ne proizvajamo škodljivih motov drugim. Ampak da to lahko realiziramo, so to make this PIP3, the required, we need 105 watts for a bipolar transistor and we need 10 watts for the MOSFET. Lahko zračunamo končno še izkoristek, se pravi, poskušamo zračunati še izkoristek v tem primeru. Izkoristek je zdaj vsota moči, ne? Vsota moči, deljeno z P enosmerna, ne? Se pravi, je 1,1 vata deljeno z 105 vatov. Ne? In ta izkoristek nam pride tukaj, 1,05%, ne? Metenko tukaj spodaj, ne? Za MOSFET, celoten izkoristek našega oddajnika je spet vsota moči deljeno z enosmerno močjo, ne? Je pa zdaj 1,1 vata deljeno z 10,5 vata, je pa tudi 10,5%, ne? So, talking about the overall transmitter efficiency, we have 1.1 watts of useful output power. This is 1 watt of picture and 0.1 watt of sound. Divided by 105 watts required by the bipolar transistor is 1% efficiency. Divided by the 10 watts power of the MOSFET is 10% efficiency. These things may make a huge difference in the size of the battery required. Te stvari lahko vam dajo ogromno razliko, koliko je potrebna baterija, če smo se potrudili narediti bolj linearno načevanje. Seveda bi lahko linearnost dosegli tudi na druge načine, na primer z negativno povratno vezavo. Of course, this linearity needs not be just a field effect transistor. The linearity can be achieved by some kind of feedback. Already this feedback improves things very much. But in the final instance, this is what we have to pay for. Tisto, kar moramo plačati, je enosmerna moč. Enosmerna moč, ki se kaže ne samo v velikosti napajalnika, tudi v ceni transistora. This DC power is not just the cost of the electricity, the cost of the power supply. It's also the cost of the RF transistor. Also this RF transistor here has to be much larger than this one here. Much larger heatsink and so on. Dobro. Dajmo si pogledati čez zgled. Kaj pa, če imamo še več frekvenc? So, what happens if we do not have just two signals? We may have three signals at three different frequencies. Kako se obnaša informacijsko hudo, kakšne informacijsko popačenje dobimo, če imamo več frekvenc? Če imamo, na primer, tri frekvence. Ne dve frekvenci, pač pa tri frekvence. Kaj se zdaj zgodi? samo brisati. So it's best to erase everything so we've got some space in the board. No, kaj se zgodi, če imamo tak zgled zdaj? Ravno bi pa lahko narisal, ne? No, interpolacijsko popačenje dosti krat si narišemo samo en delček frekvenčnosti. So, for intermolation distortion, we just draw the interesting part of the omega axis. And here we have our power levels, our spectrum. In poglejmo zdaj, kaj se zgodi, če imam jaz tri signale na frekvencah. Omega 1, omega 2 in omega 3. Omega 2 in omega 3. Kaj zdaj dobim ven, ne? Dobro. Ta prva stvar, kar dobim ven, kakor informacijski produkti, je, če vzamem prvi dve frekvenci, omega 1 in omega 2, ne? Ta bo zdaj 2 omega 1 manj omega 2. In ta tukaj, ki ga dobim tukaj, bo pa 2 omega 2 manj omega 1. Ne? Potem si lahko pogledam par omega 1 in omega 3. Ne? Omega 1 in omega 3, če imam tukaj, ga lahko dam sem tukaj. Ne? Tukaj ga lahko da sem bo tukaj, ne? Se pravi, bom imel tako, bom imel dva omega ena manj omega tri in tukaj bom imel enega manjšega dva omega tri manj omega ena, ne? In malo še, preveč prostora sem se vzimil. Omega 1 manj omega 3, tako moram prihraniti prostor, ne? Omega 1 manj omega 3, ne? No in končno imam še par omega 2 in omega 3.
To je 2 omega 1 plus omega 3.
Minus omega 3. 2 omega 3. Dva omega 3 minus omega 1. Bo še enkrat napisal. Je težko s tem debilim flomastom. It's difficult to draw with this one with very thick tip. 3 omega 3 minus omega 1. Ok?
2.
No, in moramo pogledati še tega zdaj, ta par tukaj, ne, ta par tukaj, če gledam sem, ta par tukaj, če gledam sem, ne? Se pravi, imam še ta par tukaj, in sicer ta bo zdaj tukaj, in tukaj. Ta je 2 omega 2 minus omega 3, in ta je 2 omega 3 minus omega 2, ne? Še ta par dobi. Nizo tu še vsi intermolacijski produkt. Še večji krata. Radi je tudi takšni, kjer vsi trije nastopajo noter. 1, 2 in 3, ne? Se pravi, imam recimo omega 1 in omega 3 manj omega 2. Omega 1 in omega 3, ne, ta tukaj in ta, manj omega 2. Ali pa omega 1 in omega 2, manj omega 3. Ne. Omega 1 in omega 2, manj omega 3, kam ta tukaj pade, ta pade nekam sem. Ne. tista razdalja pade, moram še eno padico narediti, recimo črno črno. Tukaj bom imel, pa recimo, omega 1 in omega 2 manj omega 3. Ne? Bom imel to stvar tudi na drugem kraj, omega 1 in omega 3 manj omega 2, bo nekje tukaj, ne? Omega 1 in omega 3 manj omega 2, ne? No in še eden mi manjka, še tak bi imel minus omega 1, se pravi. Omega 2 in omega 3 manj omega 1, se pravi omega 2 in 3 manj omega 1, bo nekje tukaj, ne? Omega 2 in omega 3 manj omega 1, ne? Ne vem, če sem zdaj vse točno napisal tukaj, ne? So, in the case of three frequencies, driving the circuit with three frequencies, we get how many different intermolation products? We get a pair of intermolation products for each pair of frequencies. So this is three combinations of two frequencies. It's six frequencies. Plus we get another three intermolation products from the sum of all three frequencies. Jaz sem malo previšal za nekaj.
Kaj je zdaj tudi srednji? Omega 2, omega 3, minus omega 1.
Imamo vse možne kombinacije. Imamo kombinacije takve dvakrat ena frekvenca manj druga, ne? In takih je šest. In imamo tri kombinacije teh vseh treh frekvenc. Ne? Se pravi, skupaj je devet različnih intermodulacijskih frekvenc. Se pravi, devet različnih produktov. We get nine different intermodulation products at nine different frequencies. This is a real mess. Tako da je tukaj, če imamo en malček večje število frekvenc, je postane že zelo težko poiskati posamezne motnje. Ne? S tem, da računamo moči, kako računamo zdaj moči, how do we calculate the powers, in a similar way as before. Tega tukaj 2 omega 1 manj omega 2, ta bo imel moč, ki je zdaj enaka P1 na kvadrat, P2, P i P3 na kvadrat. Ne? So this will be the power of this interpolation problem. Twice omega 1, once omega 2. The power of this combined interpolation problem, this one has the power that's equal to. Because we have three frequencies, all three frequencies taking part, P1, P2, P3, divided by PIP, 3 squared. Tisti, ta mešani intermolacijski produkt, ki ima vse tri člene noter, ne? Ta ima vse tri moči, ker vsi tri nastopajo linearno, vsi tri nastopajo linearno, tudi tukaj, ne? Deljeno spet z močjo presečne točke tretjega reda na kvadrat, ne? Je pa tako stvar, zdaj rečemo na spektralnem analizatorju, pa navajati, da smo spet tri signale, vidite so lato, da se je že težko znati, kaj je kaj. So the number of intermolation products grows in a quite very quick fashion. If we have three frequencies, it's already very difficult to find out where does a particular intermolation product come from. I don't mean now mathematically on the board, I mean in the real world when you measure things with a spectrum analyzer. Dobro, zdaj kako, če smo rekli, smo omenili spektralni analizator, kako zdaj mi mirimo stvari? Ne? So how do we measure intermolation distortion? Well, one idea was to use a spectrum analyzer or another kind of the receiver that's able to identify the individual frequencies. Pravi, uporabimo spektralni analizator pa drugačen merilni sprejemnik, ki lahko pomeri jakost posamezne frekvence. Ne? No in tisto, kar mi naredimo, mi moramo imeti dva generatorja z omega 1 z omega 2, ne? Omega 3, ne? Ta dva generatorja mi prepustimo na dva nastavljiva slepeca, A1, zvežemo izhode skupaj preko primernega združevalnika, ne? In peljemo na naš merjanec. Test item. Od tega merjenca gremo naprej na še en slabec. In tukaj peljemo vse skupaj recimo na spektralni analizator. In na spektralnem analizatorju zdaj vidimo našo slikico, ne?
So the question is why I was using two different colors here, red and green, on this drawing. Naše vprašanje je, katerim merilnim inštrumentom lahko zaupam, ne? So, my essential question when measuring intermolation distortion is, what do I trust, what can I trust, and why, what I cannot trust? Tukaj kakšne rezerve premeritvi ni. Se pravi, premeritvi intermolacijskega popačenja približno tako, ne? Mi vsi vemo, da jugo po klancu navzdol zmore tu 180 km na uro, ne? Ampak mi per meritvi intermolacijskega popačenja jugo ta peljemo 250 km na uro. Ne? So the measurements of the intermolation distortion are like, if you have a little car, your little car probably, if you go downhill, it can reach 180 km per hour. That's the maximum speed it can reach. But taking intermolation distortion measurements, we are driving your car at 250 km per hour. This is a comparison, a fair comparison of what we are doing here. So, intermolation distortion measurements, all our test equipment is at its limits. Sometimes you can even not perform a measurement. There's no way to perform a measurement with certain test equipment. Even if it's the most expensive, high quality and so on, it cannot do that. So we are pushing here the limits, and we are discussing what we can trust, and I draw with the green color items we can trust here. And I draw here with the red colors things we cannot trust. This one, this one, this one. Why we cannot trust these pieces of equipment? Because these pieces contain nonlinear devices. Te gradniki, spektralni analizator, merjenc, naš generatori, vsebujejo nelinearne gradnike. Ne? In te nelinearne gradnike lahko naredijo intermolacijsko popačenje, če smo mi kolikor toliko narodne. Ne? Primeriti. Zdaj, naša naloga, kakor inženirijo, je, Ko kaj prva stvar, preden kakoli sploh mirno, kakoli ugotovimo, moramo ugotoviti tisto intermolacijsko popačenje, ki ga vidimo. Mi vidimo špičke, ne? Špičke vidimo, ampak od kje te špičke pridejo?
So, the first question to an engineer is, we can see here intermolation discussion, we see the two peaks, the two additional carriers that certainly come from some kind of intermolation distortion. Where does that intermolation distortion come from?
That's the question for the engineer. This is not just putting a monkey behind the spectrum analyzer and pressing some keys on it. Tu ni tu da se dalje opet sa dozim spektralica, ali budu praktiske latitke, ne? Kar pošto u sebe dobe, ne? Kako ugotovimo kje je izvor popačanja pred ali pred endološno napravo ali za endološno napravo?
No, naš trik je u tem da uporabljamo nastavljive stabilice. So our trick is to using to use variable attenuators, step attenuators, they can be steps, just switching attenuators, switching different dB values here, and see what happens on the spectrum analyzer. In kakšen je zdaj postopek? What is the test method? Tukaj naredimo eno spremembo, recimo en delta A, en decibel. We change the attenuation here by 1 dB. What can happen on the spectrum analyzer? Two things can happen. We always see on the spectrum analyzer a delta P linear equal to 1 dB. This is always true. If we change the gain, the linear power will change by 1 dB. But we can see delta P IMD3 changed by 1 dB or C delta P3, delta P IMD3 changed by 3 dB. Kdaj se tu zgodi, kdaj so te razlike, da bomo videli en decibel razlike ali pa 3 decibel razlike. V tem primeru, ker vidimo en decibel razlike, je meritu ponavadi v redu. Ne? Tu pomeni, da je izvor IMD the source is before A. If we see 3 dB, is no, because the IMD source is for IMD, se nahaja after. Za slabice. Pred. Pa pred. Pred slabice, pred A. What is the explanation of this effect? If our IMD already existed here, and if I change here the attenuation, if the peaks here change by 1 dB, it means that there is no non-linear effect here. Se pravi, če smo tukaj spremenili slabilce, je bil izvor intervalskega popačanja tukaj, če še tukaj kaj slabilc premaknem jaz, se mi signal spremeni samo za 1 decibel. To pomeni, da je meritev v redu. Da so stvari pravilno postavljene, da je meritev v redu. Da imam popačanje tukaj, da tukaj nima novega popačanja. Če se mi pa spremeni IMD za 3 decibele, kaj to pomeni? To pomeni, da popačanje nastaja za slabilcem. So if the IMD signal level changes by 3 dB, changes by 3 times the change of the linear power, this means that actually the IMD comes in here. So it's actually generated by the spectrum analyzer, not by our test item. In tu jaz zahtevam od od vas, da razumete, kadar bomo naredili poskus v laboratoriju, se pravi, da ugotovimo, odkot pride izvor informacijskega popačanja. Je pred ali je za stabilce? Stabilc je tisti gradnik, ki mu zaupamo. An attenuator is the component we trust. It only includes resistors. Resistors are quite linear. As long as smoke is not coming out of resistors, then resistors are considered linear.
Dakle, se nekadi iz uporov in smatramo, da so linearne. Ne?
In tu je tudi razlog, da ima vsak spektralni analizator, ki ni igrača, da ima na vhodu tak ročno nastavljiv stabilc. So, any kind of spectrum analyzer we have, if it is not a toy, then it includes this attenuator. This is included inside the spectrum analyzer to make this particular test. Where does IMD come from? In the spectrum analyzer or in the test item? Is it real or is it an artifact of our spectrum analyzer? And this is what the attenuator in front of the
spectrum analyzer is for.
Every serious spectrum analyzer should have its input attenuator available, and the engineer using the spectrum analyzer is suspected that he knows what he is doing when he is changing the setting. Torej, upa se, da je tisti inženir, ki uporablja spektralni analizator, da ve, kaj počne, kadar spreminja ta vhodni stabilec spektralni analizator. No, imamo pa seveda meritve, ki niti vhodni slabec spektralnega analizatorja ni kos. So we also have measurements that even the input attenuator of a spectrum analyzer is not able to resolve anything. And now we come to the difficult thing. Kakšno težavo imamo? Imamo oddajnik 1, ki deluje na frekvenci F1, ima tukaj pasovno sledo, za frekvenci F1, in gre na anteno A1. Imamo oddajnik 2, ki dela na frekvenci F2, ima svoje pasovno sito, da naseva čisto nič motel, in gre na anteno A2. In imamo še anteno A3, ki ima tukaj pasovno sito za frekvenco F3 in gre na sprejemnik. So this is typically what happens. We have transmitter 1, that has its own bandpass filter, goes to antenna 1. We have transmitter 2, that goes to its filter 2, goes to the antenna 2. And the frequency 3, we have the receiver. But we have something quite unfortunate. Nekaj nesrečnega imamo tukaj. Tale F3 je zdaj 2 F1 minus F2. So we have this unfortunate case, or even worse is this one. F3 is twice F2 minus F1. What happens now? Kaj se zdaj zgodi? Mi imamo uvjezjo sita. In our circuit we have filters. And filters are components we can trust. They are passive devices, they can handle high power, they pass only the frequencies we want, so filters are okay. And in this case, as we draw this on the board, there should be no interference. Because frequencies are different.
Tukaj ne bi smeli imeti nobenih motenj, tukaj frekvence so različne. Imamo sita, ki so idealni gradniki in z njimi ni težav. Ampak imamo en drug problem. The problem is up here. Antennas. How come? Antena is a passive device. Kako se tu zgodi, antene so pasivni gradniki, da jih mene tukaj opravljati ta meče? Antene so narejene iz bakra, ne? Zdaj, do kjerega stroja ne bi ne odnesejo bakra, ne? Je ta stvar na dežju. In na dežju se iz bakra tvori bakrooksidol. Ki ima bendgap 2,1 elektronskega volta. Huh? So our antennas are made from copper. Or at least there is some copper on the antennas. Or maybe some other metals with similar properties. But copper is far the most common to make antennas. And copper oxidizes when it's raining. And cuprous oxide is a semiconductor. There were rectifiers being built from cuprous oxide. And this causes passive intermodulation distortion. R with the acronym PIM. PIM je kratica za pasivno intermodulacijo. How to measure passive intermodulation distortion? Kako jaz meriti? Ja, tukaj smo pa zdaj v škripcih. Tukaj, če jaz tukaj priklopim spektralni analizator, pozabite na kakršnokoli meritu. So, I cannot connect the spectrum analyzer directly to the antenna. There is no chance because the intermodulation distortion will actually happen inside the spectrum analyzer. The source of IMD will be the spectrum analyzer. It's far more non-linear than the cuprous oxide. Tukaj če damo, tukaj spektralni analizator, tukaj ni šans. Tukaj vse popačnega modelju spektralnega analizatorja, ga ni spektralnega analizatorja, ki bi zdržal dva oddaljnika, tukaj imamo mogoče moči, velikost na razred, plus 40 dBm, ne? Ta je tudi plus 40 dBm, to je 10 W, ne? 10 W, 10 W oddaljnik, ne? In tukaj ta sprejemnik v tej točki, na F3, gledamo, tukaj opazujemo moč, v sprejemniku, ne? V velikosti, ne, minus 110 dBm. Ne? So in this case we have 40 dBm from the transmitters, we have minus 110 dB receiver, we need a dynamic range. decibelov bi rabili to območje meritve. So we could need that bi rabili območje meritve 150 decibelov. Tega noben spektralni analizator ne zmore. Ker sam proizvaja dosti več intermodulacijska popačnja. So for this measurement we will need here a spectrum analyzer that has a dynamic range of 150 dB. There is no chance we cannot do that. The only thing we can do, edina stvar, kar lahko naredimo, je da spektralni analizator potrošimo tokrat. So the only thing we can do is to connect the spectrum analyzer here, after the filter. This is the only way we can make some measurement. But connect it after the filter so that we clean these strong signals with the filter, and then we have maybe enough dynamic range in the spectrum analyzer to see the actual interference getting into the receiver. Edina možnost je damo spektralica preklopimo za sito in tukaj pomjerimo intermodulacijsko popačanje. In tam pogledamo, a imamo motnjo na tisti frekvenci, kar gre. Ne? Uh, Pasivna intermodulacija danes je tu glavobol vseh operaterjev mobilne telefonije in če bi se kdajkoli iskali pri službo pri mobitelu, ne jim reči, da tega ne znaste, ker vas ne bojo vzeli. So, passive intermodulation is today the major headache for all mobile phone operators. This does not happen in your mobile phone, this happens on the base station. And if you are ever looking for a job with a mobile phone operator, don't tell him you don't know what PIM is. That's clear. Tell him that you know what it is and you know how to measure. Then there you're going to get the job there. Okay? Dobro, baza dati nas fakta.